Psalm 57 tonight. Psalm 57. I'll never forget one time I was teaching Sunday school, I think, and I was talking about an old rusted out 57 Chevy and how it, the reason it's rusted out and doesn't run anymore is because it's been left out in the field and not used, not taken care of. And back there in the back, I think she was sitting back there then, Miss Ophelia said, "Hey, you know, I'm 57 years old and I was born in 1957. And she said, I don't want to rust out.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
I won't forget that. I guess I knew that, but she was 57. She was born in 1957. And if you do the math, it works out. She turned 58. She would have turned 58 this year. But Psalm 57 just made me think of that. It has nothing to do with the message, okay? So stand with me, please. And let me begin reading in verse 1. So every time you see a 57 Chevy, ladies, you probably don't even know what that is. But every time you see a 57 Chevy, just remind yourself of Miss Ophelia. 57 Chevy at heart, amen, in heaven. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. You know, this too shall pass.
Amen.
These calamities be overpassed. They will be over one day. Isn't that great?
Amen.
I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. Wow. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. Aren't these great promises? God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Look at this next verse. My soul is among lions. I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. I think we all know what that means. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves.
Yep.
Selah. It's almost like I don't want to change the word of God, but as I read this chapter, this next verse, it's almost as if it says, therefore, or but so, something like that. But it says, my heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory, awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Boy, if you don't read the Psalms on a regular basis, you're missing it.
Yeah.
These Psalms are so full of encouragement. And that's all I want to do tonight, is try to encourage you. Verse 7 says, my heart is fixed. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this psalm. I thank you for this book. And God, how it encourages. Just reading one chapter, just a few verses. how it stirs, because, Lord, Your Spirit is in us. This book, the Word of God, is in us. And, Lord, it challenges, it stirs us. I pray You'd give me wisdom tonight. Help me, Lord, to think clearly, speak clearly. Give me the voice to preach Your message. Help me, Lord, not to be in my flesh, God, but to love and honor and cherish You and these people. And that, Lord, that Your charity, Your grace would fill me and flow through me. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Please be seated. My heart, verse 7, is our text verse tonight. My heart is fixed. My heart is fixed, oh God. My heart is fixed. There's a saying in Texas most of you know, since we live there. Something like, I'm fixing to do this, or I'm fixing to go there, or I'm fixing to slap you upside the head, or I'm fixing to do this. I'm not sure exactly where that started. I'm not sure exactly where that came from. And I'm just waiting to hear Miss Mary Jane say that. I'm waiting to hear her say that. She's shaking, no way, I'm not ever going to fix him to do nothing. So, well, I mean, let me assure you that that's not what this verse means, okay? However, in my own mind, Miss Mary Jane, I agree with you. I just purposely, I'll say y'all. I do say y'all once in a while, all the time. But I just, for some reason, that fixing to do stuff, I can't, it just don't get past here. It may come up here, but it doesn't really come up here. It just doesn't even get, I just can't bring myself to say that. I don't even know what it means. I know what it means, but I just don't say it. No offense, okay? Don't stone me, please. Say what you want to say, as long as it's clean, but I just don't say it. The topic of my message, however, let me move on here. Okay, before y'all stone me, I feel very uncomfortable up here. I'm going to hide. Okay? The fixing here in verse 7 is a different word. Much different word. The psalmist says that his heart is fixed. His heart is fixed. Right off the bat, look at it. It's repeated. It says in verse 7, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. He's repeating it. He's repeating it. This leads me to believe that maybe, listen now, maybe and probably based on the rest of this chapter, that it's probably been a battle to get his heart fixed. Yeah, it's probably been a battle. It's probably something that he's reminding himself. And maybe it's been a battle to keep it fixed. Now, I'm going to tell you what it means to be fixed here in a minute. But the fact is, this obviously was something that he is reminding himself. He is reiterating it to himself. He is repeating it to himself. He says, oh God, he's talking to God in prayer, but I don't think he needs to tell God over and over again. I think he's telling himself that my heart is fixed. I think he's reminding himself my heart is fixed. I think he's probably been through a battle to get it fixed and to keep it fixed, which is probably the case. When we say that something is fixed, the first thing that comes to your mind, aside from Texas drawl, is Texas slang. The first thing that comes to your mind is that it was probably broken.
That's right.
It was probably broken. Now, everything has not been broken. For example, something new, brand new, has never been broken. For example, in this case, a newly manufactured, brand new Chrysler Voyager minivan with just barely 80 miles off, rolling off of the dealership lot, is barely broken in. It's never been fixed because it's never been broken. However, after a woman driving some other car pulls out in front of a person driving that minivan and forces that driver to swerve, hit the drain, the storm drain, bang into the curb, bust the tire and all the tie rods and the steering and rod ends off, ball bearings and the joints and everything else, then that minivan has to be fixed. Because it's broken. I'm not bitter. But I'm simply helping you understand the fact that something that's fixed, maybe it's because it's been broken. Okay, now something new, when you first get saved, listen now, everything's new.
Yeah, man. That's right.
All things are new.
Yes, sir.
And your heart is fixed.
Yeah, man.
I mean, it's repaired.
Yes, sir.
It's cleansed and made whole.
Amen.
All sins are gone. All guilt and shame, all regret. Boy, it's a new, fresh start. But boy, you know what comes along? Here comes along somebody else. Pulls out in front of you.
Yep. Come on.
Trips you up a little bit. Makes you have to go somewhere you didn't want to go. Makes you have to do something you didn't want to do, like swerve off the road or say something you didn't want to say or do or react in some way you didn't want to react. But listen, a fixed heart, maybe. It's not exactly what it means, but I certainly can apply here. A fixed heart is a heart that at one time was broken.
Amen.
And the Bible says in Psalm 147, verse 3, you don't have to turn there. The Bible says, He, God, healeth the broken in heart. And bindeth up their wounds. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. There is not a person alive who has been alive for very long who does not understand that verse. He healeth the broken in heart. It's reality that this world breaks people's hearts.
Amen.
The psalmist says, my heart is fixed. In this case, that's not exactly what this word means, but it certainly applies to us today. In our passage, though, I want to get more specific as to what it really means. The word fixed here means to be stuck on or stuck to. It means to be stuck on or stuck to. And throughout the Bible, now, we're going to look at some scripture here in a minute, okay? So get your fingers ready, okay? Most of them are in Psalms and Proverbs, so we're not going to go real far. But throughout the Bible, there are actually many different words that mean the same thing. Throughout the Bible, there's many different words that mean the same thing as fixed, stuck on, stuck to. The first one I want to look at in Psalm 93. The first one is established. Psalm 93, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 93, verses 1 and 2. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. And by the way, even if you don't get the fixed part out of these verses, these are tremendous verses. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength. Wherewith he hath girded himself. The world, also notice, is established that it cannot be moved. That's fixed.
Amen.
The world is established. Thy throne, verse 2, is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The throne of God is established of old. Church, listen to me. It is forever fixed.
That's right.
Nobody is ever going to dethrone our God. Nobody is ever going to take Him off of His throne. The throne of God is established of old. From forever until forever, it is from everlasting, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. It is established. It is fixed.
Amen.
God's throne is stuck there. Nobody's going to move it. Nobody's going to dethrone our God. He's on the throne today in the midst of our calamities, in the midst of the lions, in the midst of those sharp-teeth-tongued, sharp-sworded tongues, in the midst of those people pulling out in front of us. He is on His throne.
Right.
It's established.
Amen.
In the midst of that mess going on in your mouth, Brother Josh, God's on His throne.
Amen.
In the midst of our dearly beloved over there having to stay home and things like that happening, God's throne is established. It is immovable.
Amen. Amen.
Isn't that good? I'm just getting started. Amen. Psalm 103, verse 19. It also, there's another word. Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. The word prepared is also the same word as fixed. In other words, the Lord hath prepared it. It's already prepared. It's already fixed. He hath already done it. He's already taken the time. It is prepared. It is forever. It ruleth over how much? All.
Amen.
And we have a God in heaven whose throne is prepared. That word prepared doesn't mean something like, well, he's preparing it. No, it is prepared. It is fixed. It is established. It is stuck there and it's not going anywhere. It's prepared. Next, we also have confirmed. Psalm 68, verse 9. These are all the same words, meaning exactly the same thing. Psalm 68, verse 9. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Confirmed thine inheritance when it was weary. Look, let's read a few verses ahead of this in verse 7. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Thou fixed thine inheritance. Thine inheritance is a reference to the Israelites or the Jews, God's people, you and me, amen? And God says He confirmed His inheritance. What does that mean? He sent a rain from heaven. He sent water when they were thirsty. He established His inheritance. He confirmed that those were His people. He fixed the fact that those were His people. It's not going to change. These people belong to me. They are my inheritance. They're mine. I'm their God and they're my people. And when He sent rain to them in the middle of a dry and barren land, He confirmed it. He fixed it. He established it. Amen. That they were His people. Glory to God.
Amen.
We have a God in heaven, listen, who confirms in our hearts. He fixes that. He reminds us. He's just trying to get us to understand that He's our God, that we're His people, that they're, even though we're weary. Did you see that verse? When they were weary. I don't need to ask if you're weary tonight. We all are for one reason or another. When they were weary, God confirmed that they were still His.
Amen.
When He gave them water. And they're thirsty. When they were thirsty. The next word is set. Psalm 78:8. Psalm 78:8. All these words mean fixed. Psalm 78:8. This is another meaning, but it's still the same word. Not another meaning, another context. Let's read it here. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. A generation, notice, that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The word set, the word steadfast, in that verse, same thing. In other words, there are some of God's people who, in verse 8, are stubborn and rebellious. Notice, because they have not set their heart aright. They have not fixed their heart. They have not stuck their heart on God, in God's Word. They have not established their heart. They have not confirmed their heart. They have not set their heart aright. Therefore, they're stubborn and rebellious. You see the difference here. That word set, that word steadfast, spirit with God, is the exact same word as fixed in our text in Psalm 57. Another one is certain. Certain. Look in Deuteronomy now. We're going to venture out of Psalms for a minute. Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Deuteronomy chapter 13. Verse 12. Certain. Deuteronomy 13, verse 12. If thou shalt hear say in one of thy cities which the Lord thy God hath given thee to dwell there, saying, certain men the children of Belial are gone out from among you, and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, Let us go and serve other gods which ye have not known. Then shalt thou inquire and make search and ask diligently, and behold, if it be truth, and the thing certain, there it is in verse 14, that such abomination is wrought among you, thou shalt surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly, and all that is therein, and the cattle thereof, and the edge with the edge of the sword. Now, wait a minute. That word, that context of that verse is God is telling His people is that when you are certain that something is against the Word of God, you need to get rid of it.
Amen.
When you find out that something is true, that it's certain, that it's fixed, that it is not changing, it is not moving, it's not different than what you thought, it is certain, it is fixed. Let's look at verse 14 again. Then shalt thou inquire and make search, and ask diligently. You need to make sure first. But when you find out if it be truth and the thing certain, if it be truth and it's not changing, if it be truth and it's not moving, if it be truth and it's not going to fluctuate, it's fixed, it's established, it's prepared, it's stuck. If it's that, if that's the case, then you need to get rid of it.
Amen.
You need to separate yourself from it. You need to get completely out of your life because it's not going to change. It's not going to come over to your side. It's not going to come over to your way of thinking. It is something that is dangerous. It's poisonous. It's a venom that's going to destroy you. And God says, once you make sure that it's certain, that it's not changing, then you must get rid of it.
Amen.
Because it's fixed. It ain't changing.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Satan, listen to me, ain't changing. He's not changing. He's not going to all of a sudden start liking you, liking God, and liking the Bible, and liking your church, loving your children. It's certain. You don't have to inquire diligently. I'm telling you right here and now. God's telling us right here and now. This is a certain, fixed, established, prepared, confirmed issue that God's people need to be careful that some things are dangerous.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Certain. It's true. It's certain. It's not changing. By the way, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is not changing.
Amen.
You can search all you want to, and it will be certain every time you wind up. You'll find out this is certain. This is true. This is fixed. This is established. This is already prepared from the beginning of time. This is God's truth, and it's certain. It's not fluctuating. It's not changing. It's fixed.
Amen.
Let's move on. It also means in the book of Joshua chapter 3, it means firm. Firm. Joshua 3, verse 17. I love this. This is great. I love it. Of course, I love it all, but this is really, I really like Joshua. The book of Joshua is one of my favorite books of the Bible. Verse 17, and the priests, chapter 3, that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm.
Amen.
On dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. I love that. Listen, they stood firm. Would to God that we would understand that's what it means to be fixed.
Amen, preacher.
They stood firm.
Amen.
The Jordan was overflowing its banks. It was a time of harvest, and the Jordan overflows its banks. This was not a little creek. God had to divide the Jordan River just like He did the Red Sea in order for them to get into the promised land. But the Bible says that God told them, take the priest with the Ark of the Covenant and walk up to the edge of the water. And as your feet get into the edge of the water, y'all excuse me, I got too close to the speaker. As your feet get to the edge of the water, God began to make that water go back both ways. And the ground itself dried up. Why? Because they obeyed the Word of God, and they stood firm.
Amen.
Firm. They did not move. They did not waver. They did not fluctuate. They stood firm, and all the people crossed. Glory to God.
Amen.
I love it. I love it. That, listen, if you would learn to stand firm, people would cross because of your firmness, because of your fixed heart.
Amen, preacher. Amen. That's good.
If we would learn to stand firm, other people would cross. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
It also means perfect. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. Proverbs 4, verse 18. In this text, it means this word perfect. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. But the path of the just, the saved man, the righteous in Christ, is as the shining light that shineth more and more, notice, unto the perfect day. That doesn't mean it's going to be a day without sin. What that means is that day is talking about the day that God takes us home.
Amen.
And it is fixed. It is established. It is firm. It is certain. It is going to happen. It is perfect. It is promised.
Amen.
Lord, the path of the just shineth brighter. You know what that means? Think about this. Every day of my life, I'm one day closer to that perfect day.
Amen.
Well, I'm just getting old. Well, you may be getting old. And things do hurt once in a while. I know. Trust me. I don't want nobody digging in my mouth either. Feels like they got a shovel in there, pickaxe in there in my mouth. I don't want that either. But brother, tomorrow you'll be one day closer to that perfect day.
Amen.
One day, the perfect day will be here. The promised day, the firm day, the fixed day, the certain day, the established day. It's going to happen. You will be forever in glory with God. That's a wonderful thing. It's a perfect day. Y'all, listen, I'm just trying to help you understand the text. Proverbs 16, verse 9. It also means directed. Proverbs 16, verse 9. So how many of these you got? I'll tell you in a minute. Proverbs 16, verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. The Lord fixes his steps. The Lord makes his steps certain. The Lord makes his steps firm. See, our hearts devise our way. Our hearts, through the Word of God, our hearts make us, we want to be there. We want to be faithful. We want to be firm. We want to be right, but the Lord is the one that has to make us firm, that makes us established, that makes us fixed.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
You know, I wish I could change people just like you do. My heart devises the way. My heart comes up with the messages that God gives me, but it's the Lord that has to make them fixed in your heart.
Amen.
Direct them to your heart. Direct them to your mind. Direct them to your life so that it will fix you a little bit more firmly in the truth.
Amen.
Directeth the steps. It also means to be ordered. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 23. This means pretty much the same thing, but I want to show it to you. Psalm 37, verse 23. It means to be ordered. Verse 23 of Psalm 37. And by the way, if you're getting tired of turning pages in your Bible, your heart is not fixed. Okay? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. They are established, and He delighteth in His way. Now, this means that a good man who's trying to do right, God in His grace orders your steps. God in His grace establishes your footsteps. He keeps you from stumbling. He keeps you from falling. He keeps you from being toppled over. He orders your steps. He establishes your footing. Amen. He gives you a good grip on the ground without somebody taking your feet out from under you. He orders your steps because you're a good man and the desire of the righteous is only good. And God orders the steps. No, none, I know there are none good. I'm talking about those of us who are saved and have desire to be right with God. God takes that heart, God takes that desire and orders those steps, establishes those steps in His righteousness. Makes them fixed, firm, certain. Boy, you know, there's nothing like walking on solid, certain ground as opposed to climbing a rocky old mountain or somewhere where you take that next step and you don't know if it's going to slip out from underneath you. If you've ever gone hiking, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you climb, you know, you go to Turner Falls once in a while, and they've got these caves up there. I don't know if you've ever been there. But we went there a couple times, and there's caves up in those rocks, and you know what? Well, you know, I want to see in that cave, man. And Miss Fogg was like, "Oh," and she starts praying. I'm not a kid anymore, and I know my limits. But one of them even has a rope coming out of it. Somebody got up in that cave one day and they've tied a big, thick rope, and you can't see the other end of the rope. Has anybody ever been there? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, well, I'll tell you. Now you got to go. But there's a rope hanging out of the cave, and all you can see one end of the rope, but the other end just kind of disappears over into the cave. It feels pretty snug. But I'm not that crazy, okay? I did not last long on that rope. It held me, but thank God for that. But you know, you don't have sure footing. The rocks are slipping around and they're sliding up and the dirt is very shaky. It's kind of like when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, there, He said, "He that hear my words and doeth them, I will liken him unto a man who builds his house on a rock." Yep. It's established, it's firm, it's steady, it's ordered, it's prepared, it's certain, it's fixed. But however, you hear my word and you don't do it, your house is built on what? Sand. It shifts, it moves around, and it's never sure footing. You're walking one day, if you've ever been to the beach, and that sand just washes right up under your feet. And it tries to take you with it. There's an undercurrent there. So it's sure footing. The steps of a good man are ordered. Isn't that great? I can't know where my next step is going to be. But God holds the future. Amen. God has got it all fixed for me if my heart is fixed.
Amen.
Glory to God. I like it. Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119, 133. Psalm 119, 133, verse 133. Order my steps. There it is, the same word. Order my steps in thy word. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Isn't that a blessed picture? What that means, listen to me now, is that means that my life, if it was left up to me, I'd be slipping and sliding all over the place, and iniquity would take dominion over me over and over again. Sin would have its way with me.
Right.
Look what it says. Look what the answer is. To have my steps ordered in what? God's Word.
Amen.
Have my steps fixed in God's Word.
Amen.
Have my steps certain, sure, steady, established, fixed in God's Word. I think God's trying to tell us something there. That you better walk, you better talk, you better live according to the Word of God. And then your steps will not be slippery. Your ground you walk on will be sure and fixed, certain, established, confirmed, set, perfect, ordered by God. Wow. Now that's just a little bit of introduction there. Let's get to the message. Turn back to Psalm 57. Y'all laugh. I promise you, it's not going to be long. But all of those words mean the exact same thing. So now you got a very good picture of what it means to be fixed in Psalm 57, verse 7. My heart is fixed. My heart is established. My heart is prepared. God has prepared it. My heart is confirmed. My heart is set. My heart is steadfast. My heart is certain. My heart is true. My heart is firm. My heart is perfect. My heart is directed. My heart is ordered. My heart is fixed. Y'all got the picture now, right?
Amen.
Right off the bat here, I see a couple things. Still, in by the way of introduction here, notice what it says. My heart is fixed, O God. We know, number one, quickly, we know the condition of our hearts. I don't know the condition of your heart. You don't know the condition of my heart. But you know the condition of your heart. And I know the condition of my heart. Because the psalmist says, my heart is fixed. He didn't say, your heart's fixed. And their heart's... He says, my heart is fixed. Right off the bat, listen to me tonight. You know whether or not your heart's fixed.
Amen.
After this message, you'll know even better.
Yeah.
I hope.
Amen.
Whether or not your heart is fixed. He didn't say... My steps are fixed because the steps will follow the heart. He didn't say my eyes are fixed because the eyes will follow the heart. He didn't say my hands are fixed because the hands will follow the heart. He didn't say my ears are fixed because the ears follow the heart. It all starts with the heart.
That's good. Amen.
And your heart, you know whether your heart's firm, established, set, fixed. I see another thing here just by way of introduction is that it's God that fixes the heart when we need it.
Amen.
You know, I wish, I read to you a lot of verses, established, fixed, but who did all that? God did that.
Amen.
The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Order my steps in thy word. Understand something. If our hearts need to be fixed, if our hearts need to be refixed, reaffirmed, resecured, reestablished, it's going to have to be God.
Amen.
That does
Amen.
It.
Right.
I want you to notice in verse 1 of this psalm, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in Thee. Yea, in the shadow of Thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God, Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach. Listen, you know what I'm saying to you? Is the psalmist here is 100% completely dependent upon God.
Amen. That's good.
You don't know how many times I wanted to try to fix somebody else's heart. You know what we need to try to take out of this thing tonight? If nothing else, hear me and take this home. Don't try to fix everybody else's heart. Go to God and realize that He's the only one that can fix your heart.
Amen.
And focus on your heart being fixed. It's miserably discouraging trying to fix other people's hearts. I can fix my son's behavior with a big wooden paddle I've got at the house. I can fix it, but I can't fix his heart. Now, the applying the pressure to the backside does have an effect on his heart. Somehow. This is a direct attachment there. Who's laughing? The Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, in the heart of a child. But the rod of correction drives it far. You don't use the rod of correction on his heart. But it does get to his heart. Amen. That was free. But I know the condition of my heart. And you know the condition of your heart. I would like to say, you know, I can watch you, I can see your fruit, and that's not my job. My job is to love you, feed you, help you, lead you by example, make sure my heart's fixed. And my children's hearts, yeah, I do need to once in a while use that rod of correction to the seed of learning. Amen. I can't remember what it's, but anyway, the point is, I can't fix my own children's hearts. I can't even fix my own.
Amen.
Who did this psalmist go to for his heart to be fixed? Straight to God.
Amen.
Notice he says in verse 2, I will cry unto God.
Amen.
Have you done that lately? Have you ever done that? God, my heart is not fixed. My heart is not firm. My heart is trying to wander away. I don't need to ask you that because you're just as human as I am. I cry unto God. Because unto God, it says, that performeth all things for me. Isn't that a blessed verse? Folks, why don't you fall in love with this book?
Amen.
Better yet, why don't you fall in love with the God of this book?
Amen.
He performeth all things for me.
Amen.
Who? For me? Number one tonight, quickly, the fixed heart is right. The fixed heart is right. This is a heart that is right with God. This is a heart that is reconciled, not just saved. Again, I told you, when you get saved, everything's new. That new car smell wears off. Everything is wonderful and new and exciting and a smile from ear to ear and the family and everything. There's finally peace at home and praise God for it. But things just seem to kind of erode. But a fixed heart is not a heart who gets saved again. A fixed heart is a heart that gets right. That gets back to that newness of just blessing and revival and understanding of how great it is to be a child of God. The one who performeth all things for me.
Amen, preacher.
A fixed heart is a heart that's right with God. You know, I said that you can't see my heart and I can't see your heart, and that's true. But there's still some telltale signs. Okay, look in our text in verse 8. My heart is fixed, O God, he says in verse 7. Verse 8, awake up, my glory, awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early.
Amen.
I will praise thee, O Lord. Notice it says, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. The nations is a reference to the heathen, the world, the lost people.
Yeah.
What am I saying? I'm saying that a fixed heart is a heart that's right with God, and the proof is right here in the text. One of the most telltale signs of a heart that's fixed is a heart that's a singing, praising heart.
Amen.
Among the people. That doesn't just mean in the shower. I sing in the shower, preacher, because nobody can hear me. I know that. But what about when it's time to sing among the people?
Yep. Amen.
Come on, look at me now. I'm not trying to be mean. But the fixed heart is a heart that's right. And the proof is there a song in your mouth.
Yep.
Now don't tell me, I don't know the songs. Every one of you been here long enough to know some of these songs.
Amen.
Victory in Jesus, we all know that. Some of you weren't singing. I love you, you know that. But that's a proof that something's not right. Fixed, the heart's not established. The heart's wandering. A fixed heart is a heart that's right with God. And the proof will be, number one, quickly, in the singing, the praising. It'll be a praising heart. A fixed heart is also a heart that speaks truth. Turn to Job chapter 47. Job chapter 47. That's right with God in the fact that it sings praises. By the way, if you lose your song, your heart is wandering. Don't ever question it. Just mark it down 100%, always 100% of the time. If I lose my song, if I don't want to praise God, my heart is not fixed. Amen. Y'all can say amen, or you can say oh me, whatever the fact is. But if you don't praise God, something's not right. It's a singing and praising heart, but it's also a speaking truth heart. Job 42 verse 7. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. The thing that is right. You have not spoken of me the thing that is right. My wrath is kindled. In other words, they were not speaking truth. Their heart was not right. They were speaking things that were not right. Listen, when you find yourself speaking things that are not right, when you find yourself lying, when you find yourself, how should I say it? Embellishing, if you know what that word means. And when you find yourself just twisting the truth a little bit, when you find yourself speaking evil of somebody else, when you find yourself criticizing somebody else, when you find yourself not speaking the right things, your heart is not fixed. It's not established. It's on shaky ground. I'm hurrying. The fixed heart is right with God in the fact that it sings praises unto God. The fixed heart is right with God in the fact that it speaks truth. The fixed heart, Psalm 51, quickly. The fixed heart is a heart in the fact that it has a right attitude. Psalm 51, verse 10. The fixed heart is a right heart. Verse 10 of Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, a fixed heart. Oh God, who's going to do that? God. And renew, notice, a right spirit within me. Within where? Within me. I wish I could control the spirit. I wish I could control the church. But I just need to go to God. You just need to go to God and say, God, renew within me a right spirit. That spirit is your attitude. A right spirit. A right attitude. How you receive, how you accept, how you respond to things. The Bible would not have that verse in there if we did not have a need to be renewed in our spirit on a regular basis. Are you listening to me? Brother Mahdi and I were just talking in our discipleship and about the difference between a right spirit and an evil spirit. And he was telling me about how he knows when he's around an evil spirit. When he knows when he's around a bad spirit. There's no doubt about it. There's no question about it. When somebody's got an ugly, mean, evil spirit. And the thing is, that same spirit can creep into Christians. It can creep into your home and take over. It can take over your marriage. It can take over your children. When your attitude's not right, when you don't have the same joy you used to have, when you don't have the same enthusiasm you used to have, you just need to mark it down. My heart is not fixed. It's not right. But God can renew that right spirit. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? Quickly, a fixed heart is a right heart. It's fixed, and the proof is that you have a song in your heart, you speak truth in your heart, and you have a right attitude in your heart. Quickly, number two, a fixed heart is ready. Go back to Psalm 57. I'm almost done. Aren't you glad? Psalm 57, where we started. A fixed heart is right. A fixed heart is ready. Psalm 57. Verse 7 says, my heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery in heart. I myself will awake early. Awaking early. What does that have to do with anything? Well, I know some of you work different work schedules. We're not talking about that necessarily. We're just talking about awaking early. Getting prepared for the good fight of faith. Being ready when you face this world. A fixed heart is a ready heart. Notice the wording here. I will sing and give praise. I myself will awake early, verse 8. Verse 9, I will praise thee, O Lord. I will sing among thee, unto thee among the nations. I will. You know what he's saying? He said, Lord, here am I. I am ready. I will. God, whatever you want me to do, I will. That's a fixed heart that's ready for whatever God has for you.
Amen.
Ready. I will go. I will give. I will preach. I will teach. I will sing. I will pray. I will witness. I will do it, God. I will. Here am I. Send me, O God.
Amen. Amen.
Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Quickly. Your heart's ready. If it's fixed, it's ready for preaching too. Amen.
Amen.
I will listen. I will pay attention. I will follow the preacher. I will open my Bible. I will be faithful to the house of God. To Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, established, prepared, fixed it, that throne. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. One with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy. Holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me. My heart is not fixed. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips. I am not speaking truth. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I am not hanging out with the right people. Woe is me. I'm undone. My heart is not fixed. For why? Because mine eyes have seen the King. Boy, oh boy. We're all going to be so... I don't want to say embarrassed, but the Bible does say that we be careful not to be ashamed at His coming. When we see the King, capital K, King of Kings, when we see Him, we're not going to rejoice in our righteousness. We're not going to rejoice in our goodness. We're not going to rejoice in our wonderful talent. We're going to say, woe is me. I have not been all that I could be. My heart was not fixed like it should have been. And we're going to fall on our faces. And we're going to cry out to the Holy One of Israel. And we're going to have to say, oh God, woe is me. I did not give you all I could give you. I did not go everywhere. I did not do all. I did not give you my best. My heart was not fixed.
Amen.
Isaiah said. Now, this wasn't a lost man on the street. This wasn't a homeless beggar. This was a prophet of God.
Yes, sir.
A man of God. Not just a preacher, but a prophet, a man of God, a man called of God, used of God. But when he saw God, he realized, my heart's not fixed. But, listen, he went to the one that could fix it.
Amen. Amen.
He didn't turn to mommy or daddy or husband or wife or friend at school or co-worker. He said, woe is me. He was speaking to the King of Kings.
Amen.
I'm undone, God. Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm not fixed. Verse 6, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away. Thy sin is purged. And listen to me, the reason our hearts are not fixed, it's always because of sin.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Always. Always. The sin was taken away. The purging of the iniquity was taken away. The sin was purged. And there stood the man who knew he was undone. But now in verse 8, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Whose heart is fixed? And now Isaiah could say, here am I.
Amen.
Send me. I will. I'll go.
Amen.
I'll give. I'll be faithful. I'll do it. I'll serve you, Lord.
Amen.
Because you cleansed me. You purged my sin. You gave me a new start. I will.
Amen.
I will. I will. His heart got fixed that day.
Right.
Why? Because he was in the presence of God.
Amen.
It's only God that can fix our hearts. Quickly, I'm done. Go back, Psalm 57. The fixed heart is right. The fixed heart is ready. I will. I will. The fixed heart, finally, is reliable. Reliable. I want you, I'm, for sake of time, I'm not going to reread the chapter. But I read to you, I want to look at verse 4. My soul is among lions. Hey, listen, he wasn't having an easy time. Are you listening? He wasn't on vacation. He wasn't living easy life of luxury and comfort. His soul was among lions. His soul was among enemies that wanted to tear him to shreds. Just like we are. Just like we are. The things that are happening in your lives, in the lives of other church members, listen to me. It's because we're among lions.
Amen. That's right.
Especially one head lion. The roaring lion. And his teeth are very sharp. And his tongue is a sword. And he fills his children with all kinds of lies. And they fill your head with those lies. And in the midst of all of that, the calamities all around him, the lions, the sharp teeth. Verse 6 says, they prepared a net for my steps. Every time I turn around, they're trying to trip me up. My soul is bowed down. I'm a little bit discouraged. He was not living in paradise. When you read your Bible, understand these people are sinners like you and me. And they had problems bigger than ours, most of them. And they had, but listen to me, they had a heart that was fixed. What I'm saying behind all this is that in the midst of the calamities, in the midst of the lion's teeth, in the midst of the nets all around him trying to trip him up and snare him and drag him away, his heart was fixed. He was reliable. He was dependable. He was where he should be, when he should be there. He didn't give up on God. He was dependable. He was trustworthy. He was reliable because his heart was fixed.
Amen, preacher. Amen.
I thought about calling in sick this morning. I didn't get much sleep last night. Miss Fogg just laughed at me. No, I know, Brother Josh, you're sick. I'm not talking about sickness. I was just tired. There's a lot of things going on in everybody's lives. I'm not complaining. And neither should you.
Amen.
What you need to do tonight is just, would you just decide, dear God, my heart is going to be fixed. I'm going to cry out to you, God. I know life is not easy. I know things are not going the way they should or I want it to be. But my heart is going to stay fixed on God, on you, your word, your house, prayer. I'm going to stay fixed, oh God. I'm going to stay right. I'm going to stay ready. And I'm going to be reliable.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Why? We cannot give up. God doeth all things for us. He doeth all things well. There's nothing He cannot do. Do you believe that or not? So get your heart fixed tonight.
Amen.
And just decide, I'm going to stay right. I'm going to stay ready. And I'm going to be reliable when my God needs me.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
Glory to God. Now that you got me all out of breath. The fixed heart's reliable. Let me add this to it. The fixed heart's reliable no matter what.
Amen.
That's what I'm trying to say. Will you just decide, if God be God, then serve Him.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Are you saved tonight or not?
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Raise both hands. I'm saved tonight.
Amen.
Don't be ashamed.
Amen.
I'm saved.
Amen.
Then God saved you. Serve Him. Just decide tonight, God, nothing's going to take me away. My heart is fixed.
Amen.
I'm not perfect. I'm not sinless. I'm not always right. Sometimes I'm down. Sometimes I'm a little bit discouraged. Sometimes I'm weary. Sometimes the calamities are all around me. But my heart is going to stay fixed.
Amen. Amen.
Because it's you that did it for me. It's you, God. It's all you. You're the only hope I have.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
My heart is fixed. No matter what.
Amen.
Faithfulness. Look at Psalm chapter 5, verse 9. Psalm chapter 5, verse 9. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat's an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. There's no faithfulness in their mouth. Look at Psalm chapter 12. Chapter 12. Psalm 12, verse 1. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. No more speaking truth, no more singing praise, no more right. attitude, the faithful fail.
Yes.
The fixed heart is right. Singing praise among the people. I didn't say you have to go out on the street corner. We do that once a year in March. But if you can't sing in church, something's really wrong. Look at me. Something's wrong.
Amen.
Don't try to argue with me. Don't try to argue with God. Just go to God tonight and say, God, fix me, please.
Amen. Amen.
If you can't speak truth, if you speak evil about, if you're just always twisting things, turning, if your mouth is just not what it should be, something's wrong. The heart is right. The fixed heart is ready. The fixed heart is ready. Lord, whatever you want me to do, a fixed heart is reliable. Then once you get ready to do it and God gives you something to do, you're reliable. Only God can fix it. Father, I pray you bless your word tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd use your Holy Spirit. The faithful men fail over and over. God, tonight, would you help us to come running to you, crying out to you, oh God, fix my heart. Establish me in truth. Make my steps certain in thy word. Lord, may we please bring to remembrance, Lord, all of the things that you've said to us tonight. May we do business with you on the altar. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I won't belabor the point. The altars are open tonight. You come. I know the Lord spoke to you. You come.